Welcome back to IndieCan Radio. It's the post-Canadian Music Week show. That's why I sound the way I sound. Long days, even longer nights. I met up with Tom Jackson, who helps artists get better performances. He's got some interesting things to say. But first, live at IndieCan, from Ontario, we have The Populars.
This is Ernie from The Populars, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio. Dig it.
It's my great pleasure to have with me in the studio The Populars and their producer, Mo Berg. Hello, everybody.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
I want to spend a little time talking about this new project. Is it a pill for everyone or a pill for everything?
For everyone. Everyone.
Go ahead, yeah.
A pill for everyone, yeah. It's just, you know, come up with the reason why I came up with that. It's just because there seems to be a pill for everything now. And through the course of making this record, I was just felt really good that I'm very happy to have music, and it makes me feel better and feel very lucky. So if there's a pill for everything, then we're happy to have a pill for everyone.
Now, how did you get messed up with these guys, Mo? It doesn't go back to the Alberta roots, right? You knew them from Ontario?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just started listening to them like in the last few years. So when I got asked to think about working with them on this next record, I'd seen them play a bunch of times already.
Yeah. Well, the first time I saw them play was, when you were doing that if you could call it, a mini tour of When We Ruled, right?
That's right. We did, yeah, when we released our greatest hits, we did like a half a dozen shows, and the Populars opened all the shows for us.
Yeah, yeah. Galore, Populars, yeah. And Pursuit of Happiness. That was great. Let's talk about this record. You got some demos. You had to listen to them. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, this was a process. I mean, I think, you know, what the situation with the Populars was, in my mind as a producer, was that was just helping the band sort of find their sound. And I mean, Dave was talking about they wanted to do something that was sort of a product of their influences. And so that was sort of that became sort of the concept for my production. You know how I always have a word.
Always a theme,
there's always
yeah.
a word. There's always a theme to every one of my productions, and this one was influences.
Right.
So it was like I wasn't sure if on the band's last record they had really found their true sound and that their real influences were present in their music. And it was a great record, but that was kind of what. So when I heard their initial demos, I was like, I'm not sure this is really what kind of band you guys need to be. And so it was kind of a fun thing that we did, was every time we'd play something, we'd be working on a song and I'd say, that kind of sounds like the Ramones, and I'd write the Ramones down.
Right.
So that kind of sounds like Tommy Two Tone, you know.
Oh, or I remember, you know, that.
This sounds kind of like the Cars. So like the sort of the first page of my production journal was just all the names of all the bands that were influences of the Populars. And so we just sort of took those influences, like we just kind of injected that into the songs. And so by the end of it, we kind of had this whole new sort of, not new, but like a sort of a refined popular sound that was a real product of all the bands that they grew up loving and stuff.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So Populars, pick a song and tell me the story of how it evolved, like how you brought it to Mo and how it changed.
Okay. Let's see. What's one that was really a big influence, I believe, like lyrically. I know one of the, there was quite a few on the record, but Weekend Warrior was one that was, that took, actually, like what happened with that one, Mo? We were really going for like a Joe Jackson kind of esque.
Yeah. So that was what I tried to do in that, was it just seemed really Joe Jackson. So we just kind of fleshed that out. We went full on Joe Jackson second album with that.
With a little bit of kind of Spectre Ramones kind of, like we got our timpanis in there. And,
exactly. Yeah.
In all honesty, like, you know, when I was whatever coming up with melodies and stuff for all these records, I mean, I really tried really hard to be like, okay, what would Joey Ramone, would he approve of this melody? Like, that's seriously how I, and if you can, I could sing to you, I won't, but I could sing to you all of our songs and the melodies off our record in Joey Ramone voice, and you could totally, you know, that's how I basically did.
So in essence, it was ode to Joey Ramone.
I think any song that we've ever played is. and we're not the only band that is. That's how we feel about the Ramones, you know. I mean, but so many other bands that are thrown in there as well, like Mo was saying. I mean, but that's basically the crux of it. I mean, for me.
My shoes, oh, 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 so I can move, oh, 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 well, I got soul, oh, 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 so here I go. What they really like to say in an unsuspecting way, that the world is made of gold if you do what you told. Youth. Oh, 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 that is the
the world is made of gold if you do what you told. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. I feel better now.
Do something special with a teenage party girl. Mo's going to session in on this one. And so let's talk about that song, because it, Dave and I were talking a little bit about that. I could tell the first time I listened to it, there was a little bit of a Mo Berg influence on that song. It just had that feel to it. So what's the dope on Teenage Party Girl?
Well, you know, I think we came in with it with a total kind of a jungle beat. And we kind of remember that? Yeah, we've already forgotten.
Oh, geez.
But we had the hook, like the hooky guitar part. We like, you know, so we pretty much, we kept that and we just made it into a rock song more straight up, which was the theme of the record, you know. That's what Ramones would do, you know. In fact, this song is very Ramones-like. If you, like, everything, you know, right down to even the lyrics, you know, teenage party girl. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, in a way, you know.
And the line suburban amateur.
That's Mo.
I have an expression I call them 905ers. And for those of you listening to the show who are miles away from Toronto, you know, 416 used to be. I mean, this is now there's so many area codes here, it's crazy. But it used to be 416 were the legitimate Toronto people, and 905ers were the fringe people who would come into town on the weekends, right? The 905ers. But that's a more universal line.
Yeah, well, it's very. This is a lot. The whole record, essentially, the theme of it is about what's going on in the suburbs. You know, in a way. I mean, and that's, you know, that line, you know, young suburban amateur. I mean, the whole song is. I mean, you see it all the time in our environment, and you know, which is what is going on in. Like on TV, everywhere you look, you got Maury Povich, you got, it's just everyone's turning into the product of their environment. You got, you know, these girls wearing G-strings when they're 13 years old. I mean, that's just what's going on. And I'm not saying it's right, it's wrong, or people are doing a bad job bringing up their kids. I think we wanted to paint a picture of just, this is how it is. And, you know, maybe a little bit, we're not preaching anything. It's just like, here's how it is.
No, you've got some edgy lyrics, but you're not preaching. It's fun rock and roll.
Yeah, well, then that's what it should be about. See, the Ramones are the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep on going back there. So are the Dickies. So are, I can name you 100 bands that just, you know, that we wear. And if you listen to our record, like, we wear it on our sleeve. Tom Petty. It's kind of funny because, I mean, I love everything from hardcore Black Flag, Dead Kennedys, to the super catchy poppy stuff, like that's Elvis Costello, and, you know, I mean, Fred Eaglesmith. I mean, there's all sorts of of everything is thrown in there, really. But, you know, so thank God Mo was there to refine it for us, because I think it's true, because most of our other work, I guess, you know, we're still kind of searching for really what, you know, we have all these ideas and these different genres of music that we want to explore, but maybe it was a little too schizo for a lot of people. You know, we can't tell, because we're always like, hey, that's cool. You need someone else from the outside to go, well, that is cool, but what kind of record do you want to make, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, you can't be like Ween all the time, you know. Or you could, or whatever.
Does this remind you of any other projects you've worked on?
Oh, you know, it was a little bit of a unique project. I mean, it was very rewarding, obviously, to go through this whole process with these guys and sort of come up with what we did. I mean, so it was different in some ways, and that was a chance for me to really kind of really work with the band and like I said, to sort of like try and refine their sound. It was in some ways it was very unique. It was a very rewarding process. I really enjoyed it a lot, and the band, they're a great band. That was always, everyone was in agreement, they're a great band and they're great guys, and so it was just like, let's make a great record.
And I think you did. I think it's not just a collection of songs, it's like chapters in a book.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're great, they're a great listen to, but it's like, you, if you had a favorite book, you wouldn't say, hey, I got this great book, you got to read chapter 3, it's right. Fantastic. You know, to get the whole experience, you have to listen to the whole thing. And I think your album does that.
Thanks, Joe. We're in a, you know, we're a part of that whole vein where, I mean, we still believe that albums, like, there is such thing as an album. And, you know, I mean, in this singles-driven market, you know, I think some of the young kids, they just, you know, they're just growing up, and it's like, okay, you pushed 2 songs, here you go, here's two songs from this one particular band, I like them, but they don't know the other, because that's just how it is with computers and with everything, how they're getting their music. So but we still believe, and we still want to carry on, that there's, you can make a story out of a bunch of songs, or a, you know, at least a common thread. In fact, one thing that I'm doing right now is, like, well, 3 of us are doing, we wrote a script for like an actual story to coincide with every song on the chronological order on this record. And we're going to make a video with these little dolls, like teenage party girl dolls that we found from, you know, a play school. And we're just taking little short pictures to make it move. And, you know, and we made a story out of it. To coincide, we have a little teenage party girl, you know, we do. She's got a little black hair, and she's causing all sorts of crap.
Thanks for coming in, guys. This last song you're closing with, I think it really rocks. Like I said, I like the whole album, but Teenage Party Girl with Mo Berg on rhythm guitar, courtesy of Epiphone.
Thank you, Indy Can, for having us. This is Teenage Party Girl.
Party girl, black mascara eyes, cigarette smoke girls, up in static skies. Oh.
got the punk rock stare. Acting like you don't care.
So far from where we started, so far from what we wanted. And as both our worlds fall down, we have lost and we have found. So far from where we started, so far from what we wanted. I've made mistakes that I can't erase. I've made mistakes. If I had more money, honey, would you love me, love me, love me? If I wasn't just somebody like me, like me. If I had more money, I'm not afraid to
it's love in here.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That song is called My Pony by Daniel Wesley. Not too subtle there, Dan. Great imagery. But I guess that's what rock and roll is all about. Rock and roll doesn't mean let's go on a coffee date. This artist is an artist I just discovered at Canadian Music Week. And this was in a BC Music Showcase. BC Music in the Georgia Straits had the Reverb for the night on the Friday. Lotus Child played, Dan Mangan played, some other artists played. And I caught part of that and got a hold of this CD, and I thought I'd share it with you right away. So before I got preoccupied with Dan's Pony, we had Reno, a Toronto band, and we opened up the set with State of Shock, another West Coast band, who were winners at the Indies this year. So congratulations, guys and gal. The biggest problem with Canadian Music Week is always, what do you not see? I had to leave Sloan early to go see Grady. I mean, how bad is that, right? And I'd already seen Down with the Butterfly and Kerry Christmansen, who both of which will be featured on IndieCan sometime soon. You know, I wish I could be everywhere at the same time. Different members of Team IndieCan were a lot of different places. But, I mean, there was some of we just couldn't get to. That's just life. Okay, well, enough ranting about that. Are you a millennial? One of the big things they were talking about at Canadian Music Week is this new generation called the millennials. If you were born between 1982 and 2002, you are a millennial and you hate being categorized. You also are one of 100 million people. So it's a very large demographic. 40% go to university. So there will be an increase in university attendance in Canada from now till 2014. And a lot of Canadian Music Week was talking about how do we market to these people. Because just putting LOL at the end of your tagline or spelling extreme with a big stylized X doesn't win you the brass ring. You got to be cooler than that. But anyway, a lot was discussed about it. And I mean, this demo used to be called Generation Y, and somehow they got their name changed. Anyway, I found it amusing, not necessarily informative, because you can torture statistics all you want, and they'll tell you what people do, but they won't tell you why they do it. And I think that's what they were trying to get down to. Anyway, enough pontificating, more music. On deck, we have a band called The Left, also from the West Coast. And this is another band that has worked with Mo Berg. I just want to say it's always a pleasure to have Mo Berg in the studio with us. His contribution to Canadian music continues to be fabulous. And wait till you get your hands on this whole album from the Populars. It's really something. He worked on the Clicks album. He worked with Galore. He's worked with just scores. I'm sorry about everybody I'm missing out, but I mean, he continues to work very hard. But before that, someone from the East Coast who was at Canadian Music Week and creating quite a buzz. This is Rebecca Higgs.
Hey there, Mr. Weatherman. It's not a new home, we're alive. It's just you get my hopes up every time you point your finger to the sky. I prayed for sunshine and you said today's the day. But it's me who gets wet every time behind the desk is oh so dry. And I'm sorry you get blamed for everything, it must be a tough job. Looking good gets tiring, but could you try harder? You're all we've got. There, Mr. Weatherman, come rain, come snow, come sleet. It's you's gonna get it this time, I'm not giving in, you'll see. You said prepare for rainy weather, so I packed up all my gear.
I said earlier, that was A Left. Hope you liked it. Now, on deck, Tom Jackson teaches artists how to have a better looking performance, how to create magical moments, because live music is really where those relationships are built. Who cares how many MySpace friends you have? If they come out to see you, that's the one opportunity to make a connection with the audience, and he teaches bands how to do that. He's worked with big ticket world tour bands, and he's worked with indie bands, and I got a chance to speak to him just after one of his workshops, and I'll share that with you. But first, here's a CD I've been waiting to get on for quite some time. Sorry for the hold up, Amy. This is Amy Seeley.
Right in the number one is Tyron. Right in the number one can be frightening. With the lady who laughs too loud and the driver who always scowls at me. Even on Fridays, chance on me is tiring. Taking a chance on love can be frightening. With the heartache screaming so loud and the people gathered round to see, see if we're running. Oh, 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 oh. But we're all the same, starting out our days, yeah, with our
Hey, this is Tom Jackson with Tom Jackson Productions. I'm a live music producer, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
Now, Tom, you work with bands to turn their songs into performances. Is that a good way to put
it? Yeah, turning songs into moments is probably a better analogy.
When I was taught to fish, I was asked to think like the fish, not like the fishermen, if you want to get them. What should a band think about in terms of what is an audience's expectation when they go to a show?
It's amazing that you think that way, because that's exactly the way to think. You got to understand what the audience is expecting and wanting when you walk in the building. And an artist are afraid to do that because they think, well, that means I got to change who I am to meet them. But it's not the case at all. It's just understanding their mentality. And that's really what an artist should be thinking about. How do I exceed their expectations? You got to understand their expectations. Got to understand what the fish like, what they like to bite on, what appeals to them. And then find that stuff in your songs and bring it out. And every good artist has those things in their songs.
Now, I've seen so many artists that have one speed where they come right out at you from the first song and there's nowhere to go for that.
Correct.
It lacks dynamics. Why do artists fall into that trap and how do you help them?
Well, I think one of the main things is people think energy is a show, which is a crock. Now, is energy part of the show? Of course it is. But what we want is what I call changing the pressure on the audience. You need to understand how to change the pressure on the audience instead of just go all the way. In fact, in most cases, when I talk to bands, well, not particularly young bands, when they know what I do, they go, oh, well, we rock. We just jam the whole night and run around the stage the whole night. And it's what I call Chinese water torture. Pressure never changes. And after three songs, they all start sounding the same to an audience. Now, an artist finds that hard to believe because they know that this song's about this and I got a cool guitar riff over here and the drum beat changes. But audiences are ignorant. They don't understand the things that are going on stage unless you point them out. And bands have a habit of not pointing them out because they don't know what to point out.
So you need to frame the songs better and particular parts of the songs too.
Correct. You need to find the moments inside the song and develop those moments. Now, the beauty of live is there's no time restraint. You know, like if you want to get your song played on radio, everyone knows that it's got to be 3 to 4 minutes long. I mean, there's exceptions to all of this.
Yeah.
But general rule is, here's the rule, 3 to 4 minutes. Well, those rules don't apply live. It's like the difference between a TV show where you've got 22 minutes of content and 8 minutes of commercials. You got 30 minutes. It's over. You're on to the next thing. A movie, I ask somebody to say, how long is a good movie? Well, they'll say, well, an hour and a half. Well, 2 hours. Well, two. It really, how long a good movie is as long as it works. Schindler's List was 3 hours and 8 minutes long, and it worked. So that hour and a half rule goes away. The idea is to find the moments, develop the moments, and in some cases, you have to play less songs when you go out and do a show, but you create more moments. Here we're at Canadian Music Week, and every band's got 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Well, immediately when they're told they got 30 minutes, 20 minutes, they think, how many songs can we cram into that time?
Right.
Big mistake.
Instead
Big
of
mistake.
How many moments can we create?
That's exactly right. How many moments do we have in these songs, and how do we develop them? I'll tell you a quick story. There was a conference just like this that I was a part of, and one of the groups I worked with, they had 13 minutes. Every group had 13 minutes, and one of the groups that did this, there was like eight groups on the showcase, and it was 1,800 seats, all people who could help their careers. And one of the groups had just sold 2.5 million records, and this was their new release. And so it was big hype, and every single band on that night crammed three songs in, except to the group that I went in and worked on, and we did one song. It was a 13-minute song.
Yeah.
And even the guys, three guys in the band were like incredulous that they weren't playing, that I said, no, we're not playing this. They had a number one.
Yeah.
We didn't even play the number one song. We created this 13-minute piece, and the next day at this conference, they had a one-day newspaper, you know, that told what happened every night and every day. The next day, the headlines were all about that song and the moments. And the group that sold 2.5 million records was like, oh, and by the way, they played and they played and they played.
Right.
It couldn't have bought that publicity. But because we created moments instead of played songs, they won. They won huge.
So the song should be performed. You say your songs don't all sound the same, so they shouldn't all look the same.
Exactly.
And so what are the types of things you would like to see bands incorporate, or you teach bands to incorporate?
Well, understand the dynamics of the, be as creative visually as you are musically. I mean, a guitar player is changing tones consistently. Drummers doing different beats. He's not just playing two and four all the time. There's subtleties going on all through these songs. The lyrics are not the same song after song after song.
Right.
On and on and on. Well, if you can capture those things visually, the irony is people think it's acting. No, what you actually want to do is keep the integrity of the song. There's no acting here. If the thing's rocking, you better rock. If it's sweet, it better be sweet. If it's melodic, let me see the melody when you're doing it. When you're doing a beautiful guitar solo, I mean, just, you know, emotional. Let me see the emotion.
Yeah.
When it's rocking, let me see it rock. Run across the stage. You can't do the solo from the same place on stage all the time.
Right.
As a front person, you got to understand the dynamics of visual placement on stage. You understand how to use a microphone stand. You understand the restraint of a microphone stand, which is a good thing at the right time, rather than running around the stage all night long. The restraint is a different dynamic.
This is only the tip of the iceberg of what you've covered.
Tip.
So if people want to read your blog or find out more about the actual course you give, where do they go?
TomJacksonProductions.com. And you can sign up for the email list, and I'm find out where I'm doing workshops. We do video evaluations. I got assistants in Toronto, Nashville, and Seattle. The idea here is to educate and help artists become better on stage.
Well, I've seen you a couple times now. It's always entertaining. You practice what you preach, and thanks very much.
My pleasure.
This is the tale of the Great Depression. There's a tumbleweed blowing through my kitchen. A dry wind is lapping at my door. The dust, it looks like bunnies when my eyes get weak and I'm lying on the floor. The rains, they are withholding. And the sun, it's his time to shine. You must look him in the eye before you get what's coming. A feast on which to dine. This is the tale of the Great Depression. This is the tale of the Great Depression. The neighbors, I hear them through my window. While I'm trying to shit, they're trying to dine.
can't look them in the eye, so I'll just lay here wondering why this is the tale of the Great Depression. This is the tale of the Great Depression.
That was Andy Swan. We're going to be hearing more about them. How's your long-term memory? Near the beginning of the show, we heard from Reno. This is a Toronto act that's creating quite a buzz. They're going to be in the studio next week. We're going to hear from them and talk to them. And we're going out with TV Heart Attack, another great West Coast band. I saw them for the first time opening for 5440 at the Commodore when I was in Van City. And great band. So here you go. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an Indie Can Music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit indiecan.com.